feelings we read about them in the Bible, and we wonder, you know, did that happen? Did that really happen? You know, wouldn't that be nice if stuff like that happened today? But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if God used to heal, in order for him to still be God, wouldn't he still have to be the same God? I mean, if God changed, then I kind of lose my faith in God altogether. Does that make sense to you? It made sense to me. Like, why would God used to do something that he wouldn't do anymore? Because, again, Malachi says, I'm the Lord your God and I change not. So just, I want you to have some faith and some belief this morning that this isn't just something we're reading about in the Bible. This is Barry. We know Barry. We can talk to Barry. We can touch Barry. I mean, there's parents here. Yes. I mean, you know, he didn't make this story up. He's a little kid, first grade, and he's got really thick glasses and he has a blind eye. And he, at first grade, starts believing God for his eye to be healed. I mean, didn't Jesus say something about that? About having the faith of what? A little child. And so why don't we just have some childlike faith today and let's just see what God might do in our midst today. I mean, I believe some of you may need some healing. I know we have some people watching this morning that are in need of healing. I mean, people that couldn't even be here today. And they said, we're going to watch and we're going to believe for our healing today. So why don't we just agree in prayer today for people that have needs, that God would meet them right here, right now in this place. And take care of their situation in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, we just submit ourselves to you, Lord, without any hype, without a lot of pretense. Lord, I don't feel like we have to go through a lot of rigmarole this morning, so to speak, to kind of conjure up something. Either you're the same today or you're not. And we believe that you are. We believe that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. We believe that himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. We believe that we were instructed to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We believe that the prayer of faith will save the one that's sick and the Lord will raise him up. We believe that you're the Lord who heals us. You're the Lord who removes sickness and disease from the midst of us. The psalmist who said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. Lord, we just believe that today. And so we just stir ourselves up in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have some interesting ideas and thoughts concerning healing. I mean, we have to think, sometimes we think, oh, we got to get the conditions all super right. And I've been in services where we had to sing the right song. If you didn't sing the right song, now God can't do something. Or we really hype people up to, you know, just, you know, whipping them up emotionally to get them ready to receive from God. But I'm telling you, it probably works the opposite of that. If I can just get you to sit there and hear the word of God, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then you can attach yourself with that. Without all the other distractions of other things, and just sit there and say, I believe I can receive that. And I believe that when hands are laid on me, I will receive my healing. It's as simple as that, folks. God is the same. And if we have faith, then we can connect with the healing power of God today. Would you open up with me in your Bible to Mark chapter 5? Mark chapter 5, we're going to pick up in verse 21, and I'm in New Living Translation this morning. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. My little daughter is dying, he said. Please come and lay your hands on her and heal her so that she can live. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors And over the years, she had spent everything that she had to pay them, but had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought, or she said to herself, if I can touch his robe. Isn't it interesting? Without instruction, you know, a first grade kid just got a hold of faith and believing God and said, by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. 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 That's what this woman did. She heard about Jesus. What did she hear about Jesus? Well, she heard that he went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. She heard that Jesus was moved with compassion on people and healed the sick. That everywhere Jesus went, he went teaching the kingdom of heaven and preaching and healing those that were sick and diseased and in pain. She heard about Jesus, therefore she had faith then to receive healing. She heard that Jesus was a healing Jesus. And so she said to herself, I want you to notice that she initiated the healing. I want you to notice that Barry initiated his own healing by his own faith. She set up the conditions. She set up the terms. She said, if I could just press through this crowd, if I can just touch the hem of his garments, I'll be made whole. Now, there might be a lot of religious reasons why those garments and so forth, but I just think she just determined this. I'm going to get what I need from God. Remember, there was a woman that came to Jesus and said, my daughter's at home, grievously tormented. And Jesus said, well, I'm sorry, I can't take the children's bread and give it to dogs. And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Jesus said, I can't take what belongs to the children of God and give it to people that don't have a covenant with God. I can't give what belongs to this Jewish people, the chosen people of God, and just dole that out to anybody. But she would not be denied. Are you listening to me? She wouldn't be denied. She said, yea, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs. And he said, I haven't found faith like this in all of Israel. In other words, she decided she was going to get what she needed for her daughter. Are you listening to me? I think we give up too easily sometimes. Think about that second grade Barry. He's like, well, they're a little better, but I don't know. I mean, at any point in the story, I think he gives up and goes, well, at least it's better. You know, praise God, it's better. But no, he had something on the inside of him that just said, you know what? I want to play sports. These glasses are whole. I mean, being blind in one eye would be kind of restrictive in sports, don't you think? I mean, it's kind of hard to see what's coming at you. It'd be kind of hard to hit a baseball. I mean, I couldn't hit a baseball anyway, and I had two good eyes, all right? Are you listening to me? Now, I could field anything, but I couldn't hit to save my life, you know? You got to have good eyesight to play sports. And he just determined he was going to be healed. But where did that come from? Well, he heard about Jesus. He had faith for that. And this woman would not be denied. She said, if I could just touch... Look, this woman wasn't supposed to be out in public. She's a Jewish woman and she's bleeding. Read the Old Testament. She's not supposed to be out in public. She's unclean. She's supposed to be staying home. But sometimes you just got to break the rules. Are you listening to me? Sometimes you just got to break the rules and do what you need. I mean, there was a blind man sitting by the gate in Jericho crying out with a loud voice, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, shh, you know, got to be quiet. I mean, come on, it's church. You got to be quiet. Are you listening to me? You guys are good at being quiet. All right. And everybody told him to shut up, but he would not be denied. And he cried out even louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Why? Because he heard about Jesus and he had faith that he could be healed and be restored. And Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, so I can see. I want to see. And Jesus healed him. I mean, sometimes we just have to decide we're not going to take it anymore. Or sometimes we just have to determine we're not living with this. We're not living with the way it is anymore. This woman kept saying to herself, if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be made whole. Now, she's trying to sneak around because, you know, religion's mean. I mean, any religious leader can find her out in the crowd and bust her, and inflict some kind of punishment, retribution on her for being out in public and bleeding. Are you listening to me? Religion will tell you every reason why you can't have something from God. But faith says, I can. This woman pressed through the crowd. Look, she interrupts somebody else's healing story. You know how this story begins, right? Jairus, a religious leader, the synagogue leader, comes and says, my daughter is at home dying. Would you come to my house? And Jesus said, of course I will. And on the way to Jairus' house, this woman interrupts his healing story. Are you listening to me? I mean, she's breaking every rule. She's not even exercising good manners here. She's cutting the line. Are you listening to it? She's cutting in the line. But she was not going to be denied. And so she did press through the crowd. And she had kept saying to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the Bible says, the healing or the blood flow stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. There's people in here today. I mean, if you got healed today, you'd know it, right? You would know it. I mean, instantly you could know it, right? One time in Zimbabwe, our host took us out and said, there's this blind lady that wants you to come pray for her. I said, well, okay. Where is she? Well, she was way out in the bush. And so we drove, it seemed like hours, to get there. And we came to this little clearing, where just some dirt, roads intersected. And there she was. I mean, I don't know. This was before cell phones. You understand? But now everybody in the bush has a cell phone. It's the freakiest thing. They don't have electricity. They don't have running water. But they do have a cell phone. And they go up to the little stand and there's 40 phones plugged into the same outlet, in the village. But this was before cell phones. So I don't know how she knew to be there. Maybe she sat there all day. Very likely. Very likely she just sat there until we showed up. And we showed up. I'm just telling you, you don't have to have a lot of pomp and circumstance to get your healing. You don't have to have a big production to get your healing. You can just believe, if God's there and you're there and you have faith, you can receive what you have need of from God. And so she's sitting on this log. Literally, they took some logs and made benches out of them. And she's sitting under this old tent where they used to distribute food. Some gospel preacher from America was doing a food giveaway at this location. So that's where we knew where to meet. It was a Jimmy Swaggart tent, as a matter of fact. And so here we are under the Jimmy Swaggart tent, sitting on a log, and just this woman and our hosts from Zimbabwe. Now they're our neighbors. Life got too dangerous for them in Zimbabwe, So many, 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 many years ago, we brought Don and Lorraine Odendahl to the United States and gave them asylum. And now they're our next door neighbors. But we went out and we got there and said, is this the woman? Yeah, she can't see. So I prayed the most nondescript vanilla prayer that you've ever heard in your life. I just asked God to heal her eyes. We got in the truck and left. No music. No all-night prayer meeting. The prayer probably lasted a couple of minutes. We probably spent all of 15 minutes in this location, prayed, and went on about our business. But I got a letter several months later and said, the people really want you to come back to Zimbabwe, to this area, because the lady was healed. I said, I had a guy that went with me on the trip, and I said, I know it was like one of the big two or three. You know what I mean? Like, this was like a major healing, but I didn't even remember what it was. I said, was she like deaf or blind or something? He said, I think she was blind. So I had to write to our host. I said, okay, the woman was healed. I mean, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I don't even remember what was wrong with her. Are you listening to me? It didn't really have anything to do with the preacher, did it? Come on, it didn't have anything to do with the circumstances, did it? This woman had faith that if hands were laid on her, she would be healed, and she was healed. She could see perfectly well and perfectly fine. She could see. Amen. And so we went back and did meetings there later. Are you listening to me? This woman pressed through the crowd and said, if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I will be made whole. Well, long story short, she did. And he did. What do you mean he did? I mean, Jesus was totally unaware that a healing was happening until it happened. Are you listening to me? I mean, sometimes we think the only way we could get healed is if God decided supernaturally to do something on our behalf. But as a matter of fact, Jesus didn't know this woman got healed until after she had been healed. Can you read the text? Let's read on. It says, Jesus realized at once, verse 30, that healing power had gone out of him. So he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my robe? His disciples said, well, look, the crowd's pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what happened. I mean, she's trying to sneak in and sneak out here because she's breaking religious law by being out in public anyway. So she's going to get her healing and go on back home. I mean, she's not trying to get, you know, her 15 minutes of fame here. She just wants to be healed. Now, there's something in us sometimes that just says, this isn't right, and I don't believe I have to take this anymore. Like, there's something going on in me that I believe that if God really is God, that I could be set free and made whole from this. Do you believe that this morning? Jesus stopped in the middle of the crowd. You remember, he got off the boat and the crowd was already there ready to meet him. He gets off the boat. Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, said, would you come to my house? And so we have this parade of people. All of these people following Jesus. Everybody's wanting to touch Jesus. I mean, he's the celebrity of the day. And this woman slips through the crowd, touches the hem of his garment, and immediately she knows. Now, look, part of the story has to do with she had spent everything that she had trying to get better. Do you know people like that? Now, my daughter's here this morning. She's married to a medical doctor. We don't have anything against doctors. I mean, all healing's from God. Are you listening to me? All healing is good. All healing comes from God. Come on. But sometimes you've done everything you know to do, and you just can't get any better. Like, you've done everything they've told you to do. I mean, you've read every website. You've tried every kind of, you know, aromatherapy. You've kind of, you know, every kind of oil. Are you listening to me? You've tried, you know, every kind of herbal whatever. And you've been to every doctor and you've had the procedure and you're still not better. Anybody there? Does that mean it's hopeless? Does that mean there's nothing that can be done for you? Well, I don't think so. This woman spent all of her money and was not any better, but as a matter of fact, she was worse. But she's still alive and she's hurting. She can't even interact with, you know, she can't even go to the market. She can't, come on. Her life has been ruined for 12 years. I say, I pick up the little details in stories. 12 years. 12 years. 12 years is a long time to suffer. 12 years would be come and go, and you think, there's no way I'm ever going to get better. Come on. 12 years. Your situation's not completely, absolutely hopeless. As long as you're alive and there's a God in heaven, there's hope for you. And Jesus said, who touched me? What does he really mean by that? He knows somebody physically touched him, but what he really means is who touched me with faith? Who connected with my healing power? He knew that virtue or healing power had gone out from him. So we know that the healing power of God exists in Jesus. Amen. But can we connect with it today? Michelle and I were watching a movie last night, and in the movie, this phrase came out. That believing, having faith is about half the battle for receiving the cure or receiving your healing. Now, this movie didn't have anything to God to do with God. It didn't have anything to do with religion, but it had everything to do with believing. Now, believing is about half the battle. Are you listening to me? I mean, we can't do everything. Are you following me? I mean, there's our side and there's God's side. All I can do is my side. All you can do is your side. Your part is to believe. God's part is to heal. Now, look, we're going to lay hands on people. We're going to pray for people today. But quite frankly, you know, I can't heal anything. I mean, there's nothing medical about me. I couldn't have been a doctor. I couldn't have spelled the words. Are you listening? I couldn't have pronounced half of those things. I mean, there's just nothing in my aptitude has anything to do with medicine or healing or anything about that. But you know who I do know? I have the name that's above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord. And I do believe that. You see, there's our part, but our part's the believing part. God's part is the healing part. Well, I can't do God's part, but God can't do my part. Are you listening to me? God can't do your part. He can't do your believing for you. That's up to you. This woman pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was immediately healed. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And I want you to notice, he said, "Well, daughter, your faith has made you whole." That phrase, "made you whole," or "yet your faith has healed you," is one word in the Greek text. It's the word soteria, which just simply means salvation. Your faith has saved you. When we think about salvation, sometimes we only think about eternal life. We think about going to heaven someday. But I'm telling you, the saving power of God means to save. It means to heal. It means to deliver. It means to set free. And it means to make whole. That when God redeemed us, it wasn't just so we could go to heaven someday. He saves us, spirit, soul, and body. Are you listening to me this morning? You see, there was four men that brought their friend to Jesus. He was paralyzed. He couldn't walk at all. And four men carrying a pallet carried him through in the city of Capernaum, but they couldn't get to the place. Jesus was, you know, in the front of this house teaching, and there was a big crowd around, and four guys carrying a guy on a stretcher, and they couldn't get to Jesus, so they climbed up on that Middle Eastern house and started tearing away the mud and the thatch and ripped a hole in the roof and lowered the man right in front of Jesus and said, "Okay, we're interrupting your meeting, Jesus. We've decided our friend's getting healed today. We heard you can do it. You've talked long enough. Now let's see some action." And Jesus said, saw their faith. He saw, in other words, they decided. It was their faith. It was they initiated the healing. They decided what the terms were going to be. They didn't wait for somebody to have some word. "Oh, I know somebody's here," this, that, or the other thing. They just determined our friend's going to get healed today. And Jesus recognized their faith, and that man was healed. But there's a point in that story. It's found in Mark chapter 2. Jesus looked at that man and said, "Your sins are forgiven you." They said, "Blasphemy. That's blasphemy." But Jesus said, "I want to prove that the Son of God, the Son of Man, has power on earth to forgive sins." So he looked at the man and said, "Take up your bed and walk." And the man took up his bed and walked. I'm telling you, healing and forgiveness, as far as Jesus is concerned, is the same thing. Remember Psalm 103? "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases." Look, if we believe that God can forgive us of our sins, we can believe that he can heal us of our diseases. Let's go back to Jairus. I just feel like staying in storytelling mode, so you can read it. So getting back to the story, this woman goes away healed. And while they're on the way to Jairus' house, they come out and said, no need. Girl died. I mean, no need to trouble the master anymore. Can you think how mad Jairus is at this point? Come on, somebody. This woman jumped in the line and got her healing. And in the meantime, while Jesus is being interrupted healing somebody else, his daughter died, but he was in line first. And he's a religious authority. So this woman isn't even supposed to be out in public. She's healing. I mean, he's an authority in the town. And they come out and said, hey, your daughter died. No sense troubling the master anymore. Notice what Jesus said. Are you still in your Bible there? He said, don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. Hey, some of you are sitting there a little bit confused today. I don't know if I believe this. I don't know if I disbelieve this. It's hard to dispute Barry's story. I mean, there he's sitting there. His mom and dad are here. I got pictures of him in third grade with, you know, big, thick glasses. I see a picture of him in fifth grade, no glasses. He's 30-something years old. 34 years old. Now, still no glasses. I mean, that's pretty good healing, right? That's a pretty good healing story, right? You know, I don't know if I get all this. I don't know if I'm grabbing all this. How many of you have ever been caught in a debate whether God still heals today? I've been in that debate. But here's the thing. You know, the man born blind was caught in that debate, right? And Jesus spit in mud and made, you know, spit in the dirt, made mud, wiped it on his eyes. Remember that story? And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed in the pool of Siloam. And he came out seeing. And all the religious leaders said, hey, this can't be because this man's a sinner. We know he's a sinner. Right? And as a matter of fact, he's healing on the Sabbath. So, I mean, he's like two strikes again. He's a sinner and he's breaking the rules. And so they said to the man, well, what do you think? He said, I think he's a prophet. They said, oh, that's blasphemy. He's not a prophet. He's a sinner. I mean, he said, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I was blind. Now I can see. So I might not be able to persuade you today by some religious dissertation up here. That's why I'm just very purposefully just opening my Bible and talking to you today. I'm not trying by apologetics to persuade you of anything today. I'm just up here telling you stories of what Jesus used to do. And then I'm telling you stories of what I know Jesus has done today. And I have a real life testimony to prove it. And you can believe that and receive from God today. Or you can walk out and go, I don't think I believe that. Well, that's your prerogative. But we're not going to prevent people. We're not going to prevent people from receiving what they need from God today. You say, did you have a special word from God? No. No special word from God. I didn't have a vision. I didn't have a dream. Are you listening to me? I didn't have some angelic vision that said to pray for the sick today. Do you want to know how this came about? I decided we're going to pray for the sick today. I decided we're going to pray for the sick today. I mean, this woman decided she was going to get healed that day. Those four men decided their little buddy that was paralyzed was going to get healed that day. That woman sitting on a log in Zimbabwe decided she was going to get healed that day. It's not 10 steps. I like what Barry said. It's not some formula. It's believing God. And Jesus looked at Jairus and said, don't be afraid, only believe. Let's keep going. And they got there, and you know, the criers are crying, the wailers are wailing. There's some people that just can't hardly wait for the tragedy so they can start. Are you listening to? I mean, how many of you know people? I mean, if they don't have something to gripe and complain and whine and bellyache about, I mean, they're just not having a good day. Hey, guess what? It's April and May. It's going to rain. Kind of get over it, you know? All right, thank God it's raining. Without the rain, there's nothing going to be green and growing, right? But already, oh my goodness, I just can't wait for the sunshine. Well, let it get to be July. Come on, are you listening to me? Let it become August, and it's sunshine. Oh man, I just can't wait. I just can't wait till sweater weather. I mean, some people aren't happy unless they're miserable, right? Hey, I'm not making fun of crying over somebody that died because that's just painful. But I want you to notice Jesus said something here. He said, the little girl's not dead. She's asleep. Let me ask you something. Was the little girl dead? Yes, this isn't a trick question. I want to teach you something about faith this morning. See, faith calls things that be not as though they were. And Jesus said, this little girl is not dead. She's asleep. Is Jesus lying? Well, no. But Jesus is speaking into another realm. I mean, there's another dimension. Come on. So I mean, I hate all those movies that take me into the other dimension. We watched one the other night. I always get lost. I mean, I never know where we are. You know what I mean? We're back to the future. We're in the future somewhere. We're in this realm and, you know, mystical things are happening. But I do believe in a spiritual realm, don't you? And I believe that God can be working when we don't see anything in the physical realm working. Amen. And Jesus said, this little girl's not dead. She's asleep. And we're going to go wake her up. But you notice what Jesus did? He put out all the unbelievers and all the doubters and all the criers and all the naysayers and said, you can't go any further. We're going to pray for the sick real quick. But before we do that, I want to teach you one thing. It's not how many people you can get to pray for your situation. The number of people praying for you really is irrelevant. There's no more power in 1,000 people praying than 3 people praying. As a matter of fact, I've never been able to get more than 2 or 3 people into agreement about anything. I mean, right. As soon as church is over, people are going to go in. Where do you want to go eat? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Where do you want to go? And then you mention a restaurant. What will they do to you? You know what they're going to do? Oh, I don't want to go there. Can you imagine trying to get 1,000 people in agreement? See, we obsessed. Can we get enough people out there? Can we get it out on the internet? Can I get 10 people to like and share this? And then, come on, somebody. What did Jesus do? He said, we got too many people here. The biggest miracles that happened for Michelle and I, we had a few people in prayer. Why a few? Because I knew they would believe with us. I knew that they would agree with us. I knew we could get them in faith and we could get the job done. Look, if you're married, you husband and wife, where 2 or 3 are gathered, are you listening? I mean, if you have a friend or two that can believe with you, you've got enough people to believe God with you for your healing or your miracle, for God to get done. So Jesus put them all out and he woke the girl up and we have a major miracle. Are you listening to me? I don't know what's going on in your life. One thing I know, Jesus is here. Do you feel him? Guys, let's get over all that stuff, please. I don't feel any different right now than I did. Well, I feel a little different than when I woke up this morning. I'll be honest with you. It takes me a while. The angels didn't wake me up. The Holy Spirit didn't whisper in my ear this morning. My alarm clock went off and I'm like, what's going on? What day is it? And then I woke up and said, hey, we're going to pray for the sick today and God's going to do something great. I have no special revelation other than what I read in the Bible. It could be your big day today. There's a man named Larry that lived in Austin, Texas. We'd led Larry to the Lord. I won't tell you all the circumstances of his life, but he was homesick, dying. He had cancer all throughout his body. He was on hospice. He was on an IV drip. He looked like, you ever seen the pictures of concentration camp people? That's what he looked like. And, you know, he was about 6'1" at one time. You know, not a big man, but, you know, athletic type build. He was a world champion ballroom dancer at one time. Met him on a trip trying to lead people to the Lord. We led him to the Lord and he got set free, made whole, but he was home dying. When I went down to visit with him, I said, Larry, how do you want me to pray for you? He said, well, man, God's done so much for me. I couldn't ask him to do one more thing. I said, oh, okay. I said, but I'm going to be here a couple of days. So, I mean, my ticket's not for a couple of days later. And I was staying with a friend of mine that was going to the University of Texas School of Law, and he's a lawyer in Kansas City now, been a lawyer for decades. This was way back in the probably the late 80s, early 90s. I said, well, Larry, I'm going to be here for a few days, so I'm going to sit and visit with you. I said, do you mind if I just share with you from the Bible what I believe about healing? He said, man, you've done so much for me. I'll listen to anything you have to say. I said, okay. So I just took him through the Bible and told him Jesus stories. He had an aunt and uncle that were there taking care of them. They were backslidden Pentecostal preachers. No kidding. They hadn't been in church in decades. In decades. And so I started telling stories from the Bible, and they started telling stories from back in the day when they were following the Lord back in the 50s and the 60s. And they were talking about these camp meetings and these tent meetings and all these healings, all these miracles. And Larry's getting all like big eye going, like, I don't know any of these stories. Well, no kidding, because they'd been backslid. I mean, they hadn't been in church like in decades. Decades. But I started telling healing stories from the Bible, and they started telling healing stories of what they had seen with their own eyes. So the last day came. I said, Larry, I got to get on the airplane, and, you know, I may never see you again. I mean, man, God doesn't heal you. I mean, he was like any day, any moment, he could have died. Just like that. I mean, it wouldn't have been a shock. I said, how do you want me to pray for you before I leave? He said, I want you to pray that I will be healed and I will be healed. I said, okay. So I put my hands on him, prayed a very, very simple prayer, commanded death to be gone from him, and prayed that he would be healed and restored. God healed him. He went back to the doctor. He's on hospice. Anybody understand how hospice works? I mean, no offense, but when they put you on hospice, that means that you're beyond helping medically. They're not trying to make you better now. They're trying to make you comfortable and give you a lot of dignity in the last moments of your life so that you're not suffering. It's a wonderful, great ministry. And we've been with people often at that point in their life. But so there's no other medical procedures. He's not having surgery. He's not having any kind of treatments. But he went back to the doctor. And I mean, he had cancer like everywhere. He was HIV positive. And so once that cancer started, man, it just took over. I mean, he had like lung cancer. He had like bone marrow cancer. It was just like cancer throughout his entire being. There was nothing they could do for him. But God absolutely, totally healed and restored him. He came to our church in Chillicothe way back when we were in the Winmore Dance Hall. You say, what was that? Well, it was a honky-tonk before it was a church. And Willie Nelson played there once. That was its claim to fame. All right? He came and shared his testimony about how God healed him and restored him. He went on national television, told that story on Ed Young's television broadcast in Houston, Texas. And I watched the story. He said, yeah, this little preacher came down from Missouri and prayed radical prayers over me, and God healed me. They weren't radical prayers. I just asked God to heal him, and God did. I'm telling you what God did for Barry, what God did for Larry, what God did for this woman sitting on a log in Zimbabwe, I believe he'd do for you today. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Which is easier to say? Jesus said, your sins be forgiven you, or rise up, take up your mat and walk. Perhaps you're here today and man, you've never really received forgiveness of your sins. You've never asked Jesus Christ to be Savior and Lord of your life. You know, here in a few moments, we have four adults that are going to be baptized in water. They're going to be buried with Christ in baptism, and they're going to be raised to absolute new life. They're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. They were buried with Christ's death, and they are going to be raised again with his new life. And that could also be you. Because whoever believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that God raised him again from the dead, whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Perhaps that's you today. You believe in your heart, but you're ready to confess Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. Is anybody in that situation today? You say, I need to receive forgiveness of my sins, and I need to confess Jesus as Lord of my life, and I want Him to become the central part of my life. In fact, I want to invite Him into my life today. If that's you, would you hold up your hand right now, and so I could pray for you at the end of the service? Is there anybody that says, I want to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved today? Just looking around the room. Just want to not assume everybody's already a follower of Jesus. Anybody in that situation? All right. Would you look up at me right now? Now, there might be some people that just has faith that if hands are laid on them, not real often, but every once in a while, I just feel impressed to just, for Michelle and I personally, to pray for those. Very often, we just have believers around you pray for one another, because it didn't say preachers shall lay their hands on the sick, reverends shall lay their hands on the sick. It says that believers shall lay their hands on the sick. But this day, I just feel impressed that maybe we should, Michelle and I should, just lay hands on you and pray for you so that you might be healed. Is there anybody in the room that is in that condition and would like for us to pray for you today? If you are, would you just go ahead and come forward and just, Rodney, you might just help organize this a little bit, just in case we have a few. And let's just, if you need healing and you have faith that if hands are laid on you, that you'll be healed today, go ahead and come. If we have too many to fill up this section right now, then we'll hold some more on this side aisle over here. Now, if you don't need healing, just do this for me, if you will, please. I want you to envision this being one of your loved ones. I mean, like your son or daughter, your aunt, your uncle. You know, and I want you to pray like it was somebody real close to you, because this thing that we use here, we say at Cornerstone Church, where everyone is family, we believe that we live that. And so this is our family. These are people that are very near and dear to us. And we really would want God to heal them and make them well, make them whole. And so I want you just to pray and believe with us that God would heal them, make them whole. Now, if you're standing up here in the line, again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time asking you about what's going on with you. And nothing wrong with that. But that's not what we're going to do. I just want you to say, you know, when hands are laid on me, and then you fill in the blank. You know, I'm gonna feel better. I'm gonna be made whole. That thing's gonna go away. Whatever your situation is, let that be what you're saying to yourself right now. We're gonna lay hands on these in a few moments. I'm gonna pray a general prayer, and then we're gonna simply come by and say, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And when hands are laid on you, I just want you to attach your faith to Jesus. This doesn't have anything to do with how much power does Stan have. Do you have gifts of healings? Not that I know of. But I am a believer. Are you following me? I don't have any special healing gift, but I don't have to have a special healing gift. We have Jesus. Come on, somebody. I sat in the big meeting and watched people come out of wheelchairs and throw down their crutches. And I was a teenager, and I didn't even know if I believed in all this stuff when I was a teenager. But something on the inside of me said people shouldn't have to go to a big meeting. They shouldn't have to spend hundreds and thousands of dollars and get hotel rooms and stand in a crowd and come up in front of tens of thousands, you know, thousands of people or tens of thousands of people and be on television and all that to receive healing. It seems like if God was God and Jesus still does this stuff today, people could just come to their local church. Come on, somebody. We are the body of Christ, and we could just lay hands on them and they could just recover without a big show. And you know what? God's done that. God's healed people of scoliosis. He's raised them again from the dead. I mean, we've had people that now have babies that, you know, they didn't even have, come on, necessary, you know, whatever, you know, I don't want to get into all that. All right. They just couldn't medically have babies. All right. And now they have grown children and grandchildren. Are you listening? That just means we've been doing this a long time. And I just don't believe that God has changed. I believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we have instruction from James chapter 5. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Elders is just a fancy name sometimes for pastor. Just a spiritual leader. Somebody who's been walking with the Lord for a while. Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. I don't have any oil, but I do have the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? And the prayer of faith. I said the prayer of faith will save the one that's sick. And the Lord will raise them up. So it's the prayer of faith that saves the sick, not the oil. Sometimes it's just a way for people to connect with God. There's nothing magic in the oil. It's just nothing magic about my hands. It's just a place where you can attach your faith. And that's what I want you to do. When hands are laid on me, you fill in the blank for what you have need of from God. Are you listening to me? Let's all just pray right now, and then Michelle's going to join me. We're going to pray for people. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray right now. You see these that are standing before you. You see their faith. Lord, who would stand up in front of a bunch of people, humble themselves, and say, I need something. We're really not even wired that way. Most of us would rather just sit in the chair and be undisturbed. But these people have come up here and humbled themselves before this congregation. And I pray right now that you see their faith, that you hear their prayer, and that you make them well and you make them whole, that you set them free in the name of Jesus. Lord, we speak healing now to all of these that are standing here and even those that are watching right now. Father, we pray that healing virtue would flow from you into them right now and effect a cure. Make it right. Make it well. Make it whole. Make it better. Set them free right now in Jesus' name. Amen.